Got my strawberry guava Diet Coke.
That sounds just weird.
It tastes just as weird as it sounds.
Are you sure? It sounds really, really weird.
Hello and welcome to the Park Stop Podcast, episode 7. Is it really 17? I wrote that down. I'm never really sure.
I don't know. That's not my department here.
Okay, I'll record both just in case. Episode 17. Today we're going to be talking about the Bourne Stuntacular.
Yay.
Everyone's most anticipated new attraction.
Yay.
I wanted to remind everyone that we are also on Apple Podcasts, Google Stitcher, Spotify, all those good things. So if you're only watching on YouTube and you're always wondering and commenting, hey, is there an audio service where I can listen to this in the car? Yes, there is. It's on nearly all of them.
Yay.
So just search for the Park Stop Podcast. I can feel your Bourne enthusiasm.
Yeah, I'm stoked for this episode.
It's been a little while. We haven't recorded in like a month. I took a little vacation, and this is our first episode since we had our 1 year anniversary of starting the show.
Yay, that's cool. See, that's cool. I'm excited for the 1 year anniversary thing. I can't believe how fast that went.
It really did. And it gives a better excuse as to why we took a break. I'll pretend that was intentional.
I'm so excited for this episode. I am drinking beer to get through it.
How's that different than any other episode?
This one's stronger. I don't know. It's called Fuzzy Baby Ducks. And the graphic is amazing. I can't describe it because I can't use some of these words. They'll get bleeped out. But there's a unicorn pooping a rainbow and fuzzy baby ducks are sliding on it with little hearts. It's great.
Wow.
It's amazing.
What brewery is this from?
It's a local one here called New England. It's New England Brewing Co. NEBCO.
Okay.
You know you're jealous and you want one. The cans are awesome.
They get an award for their label alone just from the description.
Oh, I had a beer called Your Mom on Thursday when we were doing Potter trivia. That was great.
I was watching The Good Place, as I often do.
Oh, and, so good.
They were heading to the like tunnel to go to the bad place. And it says on the sign, the bad place, population, your mom.
Yep, so good. So good.
So... just recently, on October 24th, we got a little bit of news. Oh, before we go on to the Bourne thing, we have some actually interesting news. The Epic Universe has an opening year, kind of, sort of.
Yay! Yeah. So it slipped, right? Comcast on a call, the earnings call?
I mean, some might say it slipped. Some might say it was intentional or planned or scripted. I don't think it was scripted because he... I believe it was Steve Burke on the third quarter earnings call for Comcast talking to investors. Someone asked specifically, they're asking about like what they were going to do to make sure that the theme park sector continues its growth over the next whatever years. And he's like, oh, well, we got Nintendo coming in Japan next year. We got Beijing, whole new park opening in 2021, plus the new park in Orlando for 2023. And he didn't say Epic Universe. I feel like if it was intentional and it was supposed to be like an announcement, he would have like given it its own sentence and not like the end of a third thing in a list. He called it the fourth gate. And I think he would have said Universal's Epic Universe will be opening in 2023 if he actually wanted it to be a headline.
Well, I mean, did Universal ask all the bloggers to pull it back? Because that would also be a signifier that they...
Sorry. Oh, we'll get to that later.
Sorry.
We'll get to that later. But no, they didn't. But whenever they're reached for comment, the press department is not giving a comment. They're saying no comment when it comes to like confirmation on this 2023 thing. So it's like a non-announcement announcement. It might have been intentional, but it was also vague enough that they don't have to stand by it.
Oh, that's how I feel about it. Good job, little.
I mean, that is the year that we've been saying since we started the podcast, at least.
Yeah. So we've been guessing 2023, it's not the 50th anniversary for Walt Disney World, guys. It's not the way it works. It's not directly tit for tat. That's not the way these huge corporations move.
Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done, and Although some people are like, is that enough time? That doesn't seem, 3 years doesn't seem like enough time. And I'm like, well, technically, yeah, if it were to open in the fall, that's 4 years from now. We are not in 2020 yet.
Yeah. And they're, so, they've already been doing work. I mean, they already did the leveling and...
I mean, yeah, they're finishing that lagoon for the back of the park where the hotel is. But other than that, I think they're pretty much done with land grading and they're ready to move on to actual construction. They were supposed to start construction on the backstage stuff, which hasn't started yet. But I think they redid a lot of it and it set them back a little bit.
Yeah.
But they weren't planning on doing the actual theme park construction until next year anyway. So I think they're still on target for that. We'll see. You know, if it's 2024 early, that's okay, but I'm excited for 2023. I think that's actually pretty soon considering how much work there is to be done.
No kidding. And they do move. They do move pretty quickly. So, I mean, they have been known to do construction pretty quickly. So,
yeah, Volcano Bay was built so fast, it's almost shocking.
Ha! File it. File it.
So,
oh boy.
No, but it's exciting. You know, wait. We'll be covering it.
Wait. I do the bad jokes around here.
Oh, sorry. That's the only one I got. That's the only one I got. It's easy. It's low hanging fruit. It really is. I'm excited. I hope we see some kind of movement besides a palm tree in the center starting next year. Although yeah, that palm tree showing up was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was. There's a tree in the middle of the field. Quick, somebody put something in the ground so we know where the middle of the area is.
That's a good idea, though. You need some kind of landmark. Otherwise, it just all looks like dirt.
Oh man.
Yeah, so we'll keep you posted on all of that. And in the video version I've probably been showing you aerial footage of this beautiful dirt pile. So if you're just listening to us, check out the footage of the beautiful dirt pile in our podcast video. It's almost relaxing to fly over the dirt pile.
With a tree in the middle. Kind of like a middle finger.
And that half lagoon. Oh, and that was the other thing too. There was last week there was a agreement that was posted that between Lockheed Martin next door and and Universal about how tall things can be built and whether or not they can use fireworks. And they came to an agreement on firework shells of 6 inches or smaller. Which some people are like, yeah, but you can use 10-inch shells at Disneyland, and that's like right in the middle of a city. It's like, hey. It's not the size of the fireworks. It's how you use them. That's two jokes.
That's two. You got two bad jokes. But to be fair, oh, file it. File it.
But that is interesting that like they've worked that out. So we know they're planning on doing a fireworks show this far out. You know, they're already planning it.
That's good. Let's have some nightlife stuff.
But also, you know, Lockheed's concerned about their secret government projects and they don't want anyone to be looking in. So they're going to have to build some kind of barrier between the hotel rooms at the back of the park and what, like something so they can't see into the property next door. So it's interesting, but it's also, you know, these are the hoops that they have to jump through to get this done where they're getting it done.
At least they're getting it done. So, you know.
Yes.
It's coming.
Right. And they have expedited permitting. Like they have their own person that they go through in the Orange County offices. So this is going to get done fast.
Yay. Bring on another park. Bring on everything.
But in the meantime, we have wonderful attractions to look forward to opening just this coming spring 2020, the Bourne Stuntacular.
Okay, now I'm not happy anymore.
And saying it with a fake smile.
Okay, to be honest here, I am excited to get a new attraction. I just don't care too much about stunt shows. I just hope it's good, like the Terminator was good. So I'm hoping it's something along the same lines, but improved.
Do you like the Indiana Jones stunt show spectacular?
Actually, I do like that. And I actually know I sort of loosely know one of the stunt guys in that show. Which is
it Kermit
fun.
The Frog?
No. I actually asked him to get on the show, but he's like, "Man, there's really not much to talk about. It's not that fun." I'm like, okay. He likes it. He also does movies and stuff too. He does like TV shows and stuff. He's an interesting guy.
That's cool. I like that show, but it moves a little slow in between because they have such big sets to move.
Yeah, I do like it though. I think the humor, even though it's dated, I think it's still fun. Maybe it's because nostalgia for me, but
no, it was always better than Sinbad.
Yeah. Sinbad was so bad that I don't think I ever saw it. Maybe once. But I never felt the need to go watch it. It looked cheesy.
Nothing. And a lot of those people supposedly moved on to Bourne. So it's, yeah, it's good that they, you know.
And that's nothing against the performers or anything either. It's just the writing.
Oh, no. The stunt work was amazing.
Yeah. It's the writing and all that that makes it rough to sit through some of those shows for me, not the stunts. I think the stunts and the people that do them are awesome. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to watch the indie show.
I just hope they bring back the Wild, Wild, Wild West stunt show. Oh, I miss it. There might be nostalgia, but it was a good show.
I think you mentioned that more often than the Butler robot now.
What?
Yeah, I think so.
So Terminator 2 3D closed 2 years ago, October 2017. And at the time, they said that it will be replaced by a new high-energy live-action franchise from Universal. And it would be opening in 2019. So they didn't lie on the high-energy live-action franchise from Universal, but they did lie on the opening year.
Oops.
And it's been 2 years of people saying, I don't think it's going to be Bourne, and me saying, it is. And other people saying, yeah, but it just, like, it was so vague. Maybe they were trying to get a different property like James Bond. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not a Universal franchise.
Nope.
They put monster stuff in the exit queue. Maybe it's going to be a monster show. Nope. That's going to the new park. It's Bourne. And it's Bourne.
Yeah, it's Bourne.
Yep.
Little loves that.
And it's opening in the spring of 2020.
Yay.
Is this like the two out of the last four attractions got bumped to a year later? No, three.
Three.
Jurassic Park was never announced and still isn't. So technically that one doesn't count.
What? Whatever. You called it on the show. That means it's going to happen.
Fast and Furious had like the graffiti work walls and they all said a certain year and then they actually changed it to a year later.
I'm sorry, which attraction?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a weird moment where I said something that didn't make sense because that is definitely not an existing attraction at the parks.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're
saying. No such thing exists. No. Okay, so people have been asking why get rid of Terminator at all?
I feel like we just talked about this.
we kind of did.
I don't know. Could it be that they kept trying to update it with the movies that kept flopping?
That's probably part of it. It's just not worth the trouble. And the screen needed to be replaced and it was in really bad shape. And that's probably pretty expensive. But I think a lot of people have been saying with the rights reverting back to the original company that they were going to have to renegotiate the theme park rights to keep Terminator. And maybe it just didn't seem worth it, especially with James Cameron, I was going to say working with Disney, but kind of being owned by Disney now.
Yeah, no kidding.
he probably wouldn't play nice as he did back then. But also, it just doesn't seem worth it. Like, every movie that came out flopped or wasn't reviewed very well. And then also, Comcast likes using their own intellectual properties now. They're kind of on this kick where they want to utilize whatever they own. And they have this billion-dollar franchise, so I guess it was just time.
I guess. They're like, I guess you can have your turn now.
Yeah, they're looking at their portfolio and they're like, all right, do we do this? Do we do this? How about How to Train Your Dragon? And it's like, well, that movie series is ending. I don't care. Make a whole land out of it. Okay, sir.
Yeah, but they're doing at least a short on that.
Oh, they're going to have specials every Christmas holiday and reunion movies and TV shows.
It's not quite the same Dead as Bourne seems to be. I don't know.
What? The Treadstone show just aired 3 weeks ago. What do you mean?
Okay. So back to what I said earlier. That show, I'm baffled by all of this, like, synergistically. There's no plans for a Bourne movie. And the writer on Treadstone said they couldn't reference Jason Bourne in the show. So they use things like the asset. So they can't say his name. Even though
why would Universal make that rule?
I don't know, but they use his name in the advertising for the show, which is ridiculous.
And but the writers aren't allowed
the writers are not allowed to use his name. They can't reference his name directly. So there's a new show out and they're building this new attraction, but the show can't reference him by name. It's just, my brain boggles at all of this. It's so confusing.
Hey, maybe that's a good thing though. Cause like, I watched that Limitless show that they made a couple years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And they it was decent.
Come on.
They not only referenced Bradley Cooper's character from the movie, but he was in it. And he's working his way up to be president or whatever. He was like a senator or a mayor. I don't know. And it didn't help the show. If anything, it actually hindered the plot lines that they were trying to do because it got too big too fast. So maybe this will actually be a good thing that they can't talk about Jason Bourne.
Yeah, but they do talk about him. They just can't use his name.
And why? I just don't understand why.
I know. That's, okay, so, anyway. So this whole thing is baffling to me. So anyway, yeah.
Well, that goes into our next topic where Universal accidentally pre-announced this attraction.
Oops.
On Friday, October 11th.
And then asked everybody to take it down.
Yeah, I put out a video, and this happens a lot to me, but I put out a video and I talked about the Bourne Stuntacular. It's going to be opening hopefully by the end of this year, maybe early next year. I talked about the Bourne Stuntacular having the new signs getting ready to put up. And 2 hours later on the website, the Bourne Stuntacular is listed on Universal's website and everyone starts writing all these articles. And I get all these comments on my video like, oh, well, look, they just announced it. And then Universal says, oops, this was a mistake, and contacts every blog and asks them to please take it down until the official announcement is made.
4 days later.
4 days later.
Ridiculous. Just run with it at that point. I don't understand that.
And
it seems like a lot of...
No, they didn't contact me because I'm not on their media list. So they have nothing to hold. Like, they have nothing to take away from me if I
because we are the, take it down. We're the Rebel Alliance, apparently.
Yeah. So I kept mine up with that one little paragraph that they leaked by accident. But it also kind of killed views on my video because everyone was like, oh, this is old news 2 hours ago. but they moved the announcement to Tuesday, October 15th, which was the day Treadstone premiered on USA Network, which is owned by Universal, which is owned by Comcast. And they did put that in the announcement. So what was the point of waiting till Tuesday?
I have no idea. It's ridiculous. You know what? If you're going to mess up like that, just own it. And don't even mention that you messed up. Just run with it at that point. It's 4 days.
I'm sure they had the thing written up already. The blog post was just the same paragraph that was on the website with an introductory paragraph. Couldn't just post it that day.
It's just ridiculous. Just run with it. It's 4 days. It's not like it's a month.
And this is like the fifth thing that they've accidentally leaked on their own website before it was ready to announce.
Oopsies.
Yeah, because it was listed on the annual pass holder what's coming page, like what's new. And what's new is like, you know, new holiday events are around the corner and our new Bourne Stuntacular show opening this spring.
Yay.
And it's just there for everyone to see and to write blogs about and then retract them.
I don't have enough beer for this episode.
We're not even getting started yet. Okay, so they eventually did announce it on that Tuesday. And everyone was like, oh, I'm so surprised.
Wait, there's a Bourne show coming? Oh, my goodness.
New information. Yes. And yes, the meme is already very old because I've used it in several videos myself. But Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne. There you go.
Oh, man.
Do you want to read the official description or at least the first paragraph?
Sure. Official description. The chase is on. In spring 2020, the Bourne Stuntacular, an all-new live-action stunt show, will debut at Universal Studios Florida. Based on Universal Pictures' blockbuster Bourne film franchise, this cutting-edge, edge-of-your-seat live show will blur the lines between stage and cinema in a hybrid form of entertainment that has never been seen before, except for in T2. Battle Across
Diamond. No, but this one has LED screens. Okay, and then the second paragraph is the Bourne Stuntacular will follow Jason Bourne around the globe as sinister characters pursue him. This action-packed show will feature thrilling chase scenes, punishing fist fights, death-defying leaps, and danger at every turn.
And it will all happen right in front of you with live performers, interactive props, and an immense LED screen, if I could read, making it impossible to determine where the live action ends and the screen begins. Didn't I just read that same thing a second ago?
These are the three paragraphs they put in their blog. They spent 4 days perfecting this blog post. So those LED screens are indistinguishable from real life. I feel like this is just This is just us as Waldorf and Statler just making fun of the board show for 40 minutes. I feel bad.
I will take that compliment.
What's the quote from Muppet Vision? Why are you here? I entered a contest.
Yeah, I lost. Don't they have a joke about being bolted to the floor too?
You idiot, we can't leave. We're bolted to the floor.
Yeah, that's how I feel right now.
No. Right. Yeah, you can't leave. You're trapped here. Happy 1 year anniversary.
Yeah. I need more beer. Okay, go ahead.
So now we're gonna talk about the show. And as we go on, we'll talk about what we definitely know, and then we'll talk about what we think we know, and then we'll talk about what we don't know, but we'll speculate. So as this talk goes on, not only will Ian get drunker, but the information we're given will be more speculative, but there is some good rumors in the middle that might be true. But what we do know, the story and overall concept for the show has been designed by the entertainment department at Universal Orlando. What's really interesting and kind of what's gotten me excited are the two companies they've hired to work on this. Tate is supposedly working on the show design elements. And they work with big studio, Broadway shows. They did the King Kong backgrounds for Creature Tech did the big King Kong puppets, but these guys did the giant LED screen in the background. So you see where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. And they do insane concert productions where they have rotating set pieces and giant LED stuff and things you would see at the Olympic opening ceremonies, that kind of crazy stuff. That's what they do.
That's cool.
And they do the motion control systems that sync everything up. So there's things moving, sets are changing, LED elements are moving. And it's supposed to be a surreal experience whenever they do a concert or it used to just be lighting control, but now it's robotic systems and KUKA arms controlling set props and things moving in and out. So I'm excited about that. I think that the idea, and just the description of the Bourne show, the idea that you won't know what's real and what's not is intriguing.
It is. And I'm curious. I mean, I'm very curious. As much as I dump on shows, it's usually just because the writing is so cheesy. And also, I'd rather go be on an attraction than a show. But I am very curious about this.
Right. And this, this will be kind of like a theme park ride, even if it's not a ride. I like Mickey's PhilharMagic. I think of it as a ride because it's so the screen changing aspect ratio is enough to me to be intrigued by it. And I think this is that times 1,000.
Yeah. Agreed on Mickey's Fro. I like that. The PhilharMagic show is great. I like that one.
And then Action Horizons is handling the stunts and actors, and they work on things like the Waterworld stunt show in Hollywood. So you know that the stunt work is going to be top notch and that we're going to get something interesting as far as the actors are concerned. They were doing rehearsals with what I assume is their A team, and they just held auditions for what I assume is their B team now. So this show could open in 4 months. It says spring 2020, but that's November, December, January, February, maybe early March, maybe soft opens in February. I'm hoping. I mean, it was supposed to open in 2019, so why not?
Yeah, sounds fun. I'm interested. I mean, the Waterworld stunt show, I've never seen it, but everybody talks about it, so that gives me a little more hope too.
It's right. These are very talented people, very talented companies coming together to make a show based on something that everyone groans when they hear. Hopefully the show is really good.
Well,
people groaned at the Today Cafe. I think it's the best restaurant in the park now. Look at all the
naysayers when Pandora was being built too. And now everybody loves Flight of Passage, but everyone was crapping on that or dumping on that.
Yeah, exactly. So a few weeks ago, the work walls that they did have up around the facade came down. They repainted the facade to be bluer. It looks like someone got those sponges from Michael's art store and sponged up the facade.
That's so accurate. I love it.
it's a much bluer facade now. They put up the sign. The sign looks great. The Bourne Stuntacular sign, especially at night. It's got glowing color behind it.
You need to take a picture of it at night. I haven't seen it at night.
Oh, someone sent me some pictures. Here they are on the video version. Look how pretty it is.
Pictures. It looks so nice at night.
And at the time that we're recording this, the warning sign just went up.
Oh.
Yesterday. There was these bases in the ground and they had plants around them so you won't trip over them. Mm-hmm. They were even there when I went to Halloween Horror Nights last. And just yesterday, they put up the warning sign, but without the actual sign, just the base, like all the way up. Mm-hmm. And then they still have plants around where the main sign will go. So by the time this airs, there might be a sign out front too. So they're getting ready as if this is going to open soon. You know, it was supposed to be open in 2019, so maybe it will open soon.
That'd be awesome. I mean, they could use some pull of that side of the park again too, I'm sure. That little corridor is pretty empty without it.
Well, I do enjoy Scooby and the gang and all the meet and greets out there. But yeah, I definitely would like to have a show back to besides the horror makeup to get out of the
I love the horror makeup show so much. It needs to be updated, but I still love that show so much.
It doesn't need to be updated. It's fine. Well, no, it needs to be de-mummied.
Just the ending. I think
the mummy stuff. And oh, yeah. The lie.
Yeah, I'm over the robot.
The motion control suit lie needs to go away.
Yeah, I'm over that part.
Bring back the pods. Yes. They're in the gift shop. They can bring back the pods.
So good. Yes, please. Much better.
So they didn't really change the facade too much. People are complaining that they left the font of the address the same as the Cyberdyne font. And I was like, come on, guys.
Come on. That's a little silly.
It's a high-tech spy-themed attraction. I think we can leave a high-tech font for the address of this building. So I think that's what it's going to be when we go in. I think that's the although I'm worried because that attraction that shall be not be named has a war room scene in the pre-shows, the unnecessary second pre-show, right after the unnecessary first pre-show and before the unnecessary 2.5 pre-shows on the ride itself. The war room aesthetic is like that scene from the Bourne Identity where it's Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne, like with the big screens and stuff.
Yep.
And I think that was going to be the pre-show for this show. So I'm concerned that they might be dialing it back or changing it. But I have heard that the Mini Cooper from the movie will be in the queue.
Oh, that's cool.
I mentioned that before and someone pointed out to me, is like, hey, I heard backstage that they were bringing in a Mini Cooper. What's that about? And I was like, yes.
That is pretty interesting. That's kind of cool. And that makes me curious about the queue now.
Well, I think it's going to stay the same as it was for Terminator, except they ripped out the 3D glasses distribution bins and they made it all like look like a spy futuristic thing, which it kind of already looked like when it was Terminator. So they probably didn't have to change much.
Nope. Just open up the back of the building. Just open the back of the building and throw stuff in that way.
And someone pointed out to me that they still have the screen used Mini Cooper. It was in the year-round haunted house, the Walking Dead house, I think, in Hollywood, and they took it away probably to bring here. So not only is it going to be, I didn't know it was going to be screen used, I think it's going to be the screen used car in that queue.
That's cool.
Spoilers.
That's always a good time.
I mean, there'll probably be other props and stuff from the Bourne movies if anyone remembers them.
Nope. Not a one.
I'm gonna need to rewatch this movie because I think the whole thing is gonna be based on the first one.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it too.
What was it? When did it come out? 2002?
Yep.
Crazy.
That's nuts.
Hopefully they do a good job in the pre-show of reminding us what happens in the Bourne Identity, that he wakes up with amnesia and he has spy powers or whatever.
You know, as you do. You just wake up and you can fight and think. It's fine. Just don't know who you are.
It was. At the time, that was like a new type of fighting in movies. It was like, besides the shaky cam, I know everyone makes fun of that, but the what do they call it? Cranking? The fast punching and stuff?
Yeah, and the way he fights is based on a style I actually studied. I can recognize a lot of the stuff that he's doing in there. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty violent style too.
So I can imagine we go into like the pre-show and instead of Kimberly Duncan, we have someone, some spy person, and he's like, We're after this target, this high value target, Jason Bourne, most dangerous man in America. Like I could see that being the premise of this whole thing.
Are we taking bets on if the pre-show is done completely on screen or not?
I feel like it's going to be a human standing on the Kimberly Duncan catwalk thing with like screens all around and like showing us clips from the movie of him like doing a car chase in the Mini Cooper and saying like he's endangering lives and he must be stopped at all costs and all that stuff. And like, and that's why we need your. And like, I don't know what the premise that we're being brought in though would be. I have no idea why we're here for that.
I'm going to bet that it's all on a screen. And I'm going to say that because the last couple of rides. Well, they put out, look at Kong. They have fake drivers.
Oh, okay. So what kind of bet are we going to do? Like on the e-ticket report, they do Ohana bets.
Oh,
I'm going to say there'll be a human in front of a screen. You're going to say no human.
I'm going to say it's going to be a human on a screen. I think it's all going to be done on screens for the pre-show.
All right. So I'll owe you a pizza Rizzo with a cannoli.
That is not a prize. Right. Are you trying to poison me? What is that?
Okay. I'll owe you a Endorian tip-yip.
I'm gonna say moof juice. I'll just buy you a beer or something. That's easier.
Oh, okay. I'll buy a baseline tap house. We're keeping it in the same park, you see.
Yeah,
well, baseline tap house. I'll buy you a flight of your flight. Four choices of.
Okay, you're on flight. Flight it is.
All right. If you're right,
I'm just saying that because it seems like they have been repealing more and more of the humans doing stuff. So
that's a good point. But this show is based on humans on. A stage, so I think they can spare one more human.
Maybe.
It could be cool though if they're telling us like in the pre-show how evil he is and stuff, and then we go into the main theater, and like he has a heart-to-heart with us, like he's on stage and he's like, "No, whatever they told you is wrong, and they've been chasing me, and like this random girl that's now my girlfriend, and they're trying to kill us, and like that'd be kind of neat if like there's a swap of the like I guess that's how Terminator was. It was a swap on who was the good guy.
It was." Yeah. So we'll see. I think the pre-show is though. I think they're going to try to keep it. We're going to say screens.
Sarah Connor comes down from the ceiling. It's like, don't believe their cutesy pie videos.
No way. It's going to be the middle of the Born Stunt show and the Terminator is just going to come out on his bike randomly.
I told you I'd be back.
Oh, man. Okay. We're getting ridiculous now.
The best bait and switch of all time.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So... to prepare for this, I kind of covered the construction a little bit. They gutted the right and left sides, and they gutted the whole theater on the inside. Yep. Like they built everything deeper to bring in all the special effects. They made the stage wider, so like where the robots were that shot on the left and right is now a stage for humans to run around and do stuff.
That's
and
cool.
The theater is slightly wider, but I think it's for more backstage area on those wings.
Yep.
So the backstage is wider there. And then the backstage of the building got like twice as big. So they have much more backstage there. And that's great because it really shows that this is going to be more devoted to humans being on stage the whole time instead of just the 12-minute section in the middle that was only 3D screen. And no 3D this time.
No 3D. That's nothing. How's it going to work with screens? Now I'm interested in even more. No,
and they actually said it. They said it's a huge LED screen.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm confused about.
And that's what Tate specializes in with for their like concerts and stuff. One of the good things.
Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, I'm just super curious how they're going to do that without 3D and make it look like they're really there or what the screen's going to be used for.
What's neat about LEDs is they don't require complete darkness to work.
Of course.
For the 3D movie, you really needed to keep that theater dark, and it made it harder to see the actors when they weren't interacting, or you had to limit what was on the screen so you don't have too much confusion. I think this case, it can be fully lit in the room and have the LEDs be complicated screen stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it might be a little more, it's going to be sensory overload. They're even saying it. You're going to have to see it two or three times. Like they're admitting it. This is going to be sensory overload. The permit's called for an expanded armory in the back. So things like the pyrotechnic stuff, the prop guns, is kept in the armory. So if it's bigger, I'm hoping bigger boom. Bigger boom.
More is better for the armory. More is better.
Permits also call for fire effects on the main center stage. At least two vents with like fire. Actually reminds me of the Indiana Jones show. Don't they have a fire that shoots up from the ground at a couple points?
I think they do. I can only remember the spears coming out of the ground right now. But
oh my God, I love the spears. Such a good scene.
So much of that is
That's good. A really good scene.
So much of that is so good. Okay. I think there is.
There's other things like the massive pit that was dug under the main stage area, I think is going to be room for an airbag cushion for a high fall stunt or some kind of flying stunts. Mm-hmm. So people being thrown, people falling from certain heights, whatever. There was even a rumor of a helicopter prop during the show, like a full-scale helicopter, not like that little tiny drone on the ride that should not be named, but a full-scale indoor helicopter that kind of lowers into one of the scenes. So like you can imagine the LED screen as a background and like a helicopter fight happening in like we're in an action movie watching the scene, and you know, you don't have to worry about wearing 3D glasses or messing up the depth perception, you know?
Yeah, that'd be kind of interesting. I'm kind of curious.
And then there's one more thing that's rumored to be on the main stage is a treadmill. And at first I was like, okay, treadmill, maybe it's someone running in front of the screen, like away from something.
Yeah.
Or like running, can you imagine running away from a screen explosion and they're just running in place? But because the screen is timed perfectly with it, it looks like they're running away. But then I was like, what if they're running toward and we're like running through the streets or something? That actually would be pretty cool on a curved LED screen. Kind of like the Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy right now has a big curved LED screen and he's in like a simulator and it looks like he's driving with the screen in front of him. I was like, what if they do a Mini Cooper chase with the car on the stage and everything else is on the screen?
Only if the helicopter is involved as well, because that would be ridiculous. Have a full-size Mini Cooper and a full-size helicopter with a giant screen at the same time.
Oh my God.
That would definitely be the comparisons. That would be sensory overload.
The comparisons to Lightning McQueen would be hard to overlook, though, with like the fake car robot on screen.
Probably.
But still, I'm expecting something to that effect and different effects, more than just the treadmill. And and they put like 6 giant vents on the roof. And Terminator already had that massive fog effect at the end and had fast acting like vents to suck it all out. And they added 6 more of those. So like, I feel like they're going to overdo some kind of fog effect or steam effect or fire effects. And they really needed to work on getting it out fast. So I'm very intrigued by that.
Yeah, me too. That's got to be for the fire, right? That many vents.
Well, and maybe for both. Yeah, I guess for heat. Yeah. But like, do you need that many just for the 2 little fire flames on the stage?
I don't know.
Or are you going to do some pyro?
Are we blowing up a helicopter? Because then, yeah, we would.
Actually, you know, that does make sense because it'll be closer to the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's blow up the helicopter. Why not? Saying. If a helicopter is in an action movie, it will crash. That's a law.
That's true.
Even the Transformer ride, like for no reason, when you get to the roof scene, you turn to the right, the helicopter crashes and explodes. It has nothing to do with anything, but you must explode a helicopter in every action movie.
Of course, just like every car blows up when you put fire near a gas tank, even though that's not how it works.
Yes, everything explodes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, well, maybe you got me on board with it. Fire.
Fire.
Yeah, fire. Cool.
Exactly.
So that's all the rumors for the screen stuff that we know about, or the stage stuff that we think we know about. But another really big rumor, especially early on, was that Dynamic Attractions moving theater technology might be used on this one.
Moving theater, huh? What are you thinking that's actually going to be?
Have you seen that video with the moving theater? With like the whole thing spins left and right and kind of wobbles left and right. Guys, which, by the way, if you're on the left or right and if it tilts like on a pitch, like left and right, like imagine being on the sides of that. If you're in the center of a boat and it goes back and forth, you don't feel it. Yeah. You're on the end of the boat, you're going to feel it.
Just like when you go on Star Wars, you get in the back row because it moves the most.
Oh my God, I love the back row.
Exactly.
So
there's a tip, kids.
Sit in the second or third for no motion at all. Especially looking at the like sample video for the moving theater, I don't think it's like a full circle, and I don't think it's enough seats. And also, I think the show is trying to blow your mind with the visuals. I don't think it needs to blow your mind with the theater seats as well.
Of course.
But it was a rumor, probably because they put out that video around the same time that this closed, and it has a helicopter exploding and car stunt stuff, and it kind of looks like a Bourne movie. Actually, it looks more like Fast and Furious, but we'll go with Bourne. But also, they gutted all the seats. They gutted the theater. So I can see why people would be like, oh, maybe they're going to put in the moving theater because they gutted the seats. And I think, no, the seats were just 23 years old. That's all.
I wonder, do you think there's going to be a drop like they had in T2? Even though they remove the seats, you think they're going to do something that can do that drop still?
I feel like they kind of have to.
Because that would work.
I feel like
if it ends in like a big explosion, that would actually work pretty well to drop with another big explosion, obviously. It would work.
I'll tell you what I'm worried about. I'm worried that they're just putting the same air-powered pneumatic chair movement stuff that's in Shrek on this show. Oh. That's what I'm worried about.
The magic non-moving chairs that really don't do anything that you can move it anymore?
At the Epcot Magic Eye Theater, when they turned it into Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, they added a motion to the theater. Mm-hmm. Where it kind of sways left and right as you're being carried by the child, or it can bump really big when like with footsteps and the whole thing kind of vibrates. And it was very effective for that show. But then they brought back Captain EO for a short run in between shows and they added motion to Captain EO, which never had motion to begin with. And it was so dumb when Captain EO is making the weird space zombies dance. Mm-hmm. It made the whole audience shift left and right like they're dancing too.
Yep, I got to go on that when they brought it back. Yep,
it was so dumb and unnecessary and distracting.
It's just like the chicken dance.
Yeah, and that is my concern. My concern is that they might take it too far. Where Terminator only used it twice, it was to raise up during the elevator scene, and it was to drop down during the explosion. It was just enough. I'm worried if they put anything into these seats, they're going to use it like 10 different times during the show. Or in Shrek's case, every time a horse runs for some reason, I'm having fun bumping along on this Shrek show for no reason.
Yeah, my favorite part about that is you can hear all the air going off of the pneumatic seats in that scene. It's great. It makes it feel so real. Thanks.
Even when the frog eats the fairy at the beginning, it's like, and the whole seats move. Really? Yeah. And like all you hear is the air flying. So that's what I'm worried about. Although, you know, if it does something like that and only does it twice, like maybe with the helicopter explodes or the whole building explodes, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I'm cool with that too.
That's all it takes.
I'm kind of actually hoping for that, especially if there's an explosion. That drop is so cool in T2. So if there's an explosion, I think that would be awesome.
Major points if they do just a drop without the raising. Yeah. Like if they just raise it in between shows and not have people in the room at that moment and like trick us. Oh my God. That'd
be great.
Perfect.
That's good. I want that to happen now. See what you did?
Yeah.
I want that to happen.
That's my hope. It doesn't even have to be for the finale. Do it in the middle. I don't care. but surprise me.
Or even if they slowly raise it through the whole thing. So it's only going like an inch and a half. And it's slowly going for 20 minutes and then they just drop you out of nowhere. It'd be great.
Or like it raises you a whole like foot and you just don't notice. Well, instead of raising the seats itself, the Magic Eye Theater, I think, is in sections. The whole sections move, so just raise the whole section, you won't even notice because your feet will be on the same level.
Yep, that'd be awesome. Now I want that to happen. See what you did?
So Matt Damon,
your guess is as good as mine. I mean, they would probably have to, right? If they're going to actually do Jason Bourne, he's going to have to show up, or what's the point?
Yeah, this is where, because it's always going to have an actor interacting and not have like the main 12-minute movie in the middle, I wonder if the pre-show is enough to show us clips from the movie, and then the actual event, the actual main theater, is always the real actor and never shows Matt Damon again. Like he never needs to be on screen because it's an LED background screen, so the actor is always Jason Bourne.
Yeah, I'm curious, like how are they gonna pitch that you're watching Jason Bourne if you never see Jason Bourne as you know him?
Well, the pre-show shows actual clips of Matt Damon, then his face has a Matt Damon mask on during the show.
Well, I take that back. I mean, Indy show that it's not Indy, but he just looks like him from a distance. So
exactly. And we'll have LEDs blinding us behind him. So we'll always be in silhouette anyway.
And a giant helicopter landing on us. It'd be great.
Yeah, no one's going to be paying attention to whether or not this guy used someone's people who made jokes. They just need to use the Team America World Police puppet the whole time.
That's good. That's good.
I get the feeling that they don't want to pay him $20 million, so they just don't ever need new footage. That's it. It's as simple as that. Use footage from the first movie in your pre-show when you're showing, you know, and just make it look like surveillance footage of him like beating up people. And then you have the actor play him the whole time in the main show. You never need to show him on screen.
Sounds good. Just fake it.
Or they hired Matt Damon, paid him $20 million, and it's been a really good secret and no one's known. And there'll be tons and tons of clips that, because that's another thing too, that I had theorized maybe in between sequences, they tie it all together. Like when their set change is happening, they'll show us a clip on the big screen and it like ties to the next one. And it actually uses Matt Damon for like in between sequences. Like that's a possibility too, but you'd have to pay him.
Probably just a little bit, but I don't know. I think you're right. I think it's going to have to be part of the pre-show at the very least.
And then just use clips in the movie and have it explained by the human in front of the screen.
No. It's going to be some dude that's like, hi, this is blah, blah, blah from Treadstone.
All right. If I win this bet, you have to buy me the charcuterie at Baseline.
I thought I was buying you a flight. Okay, charcuterie.
No, I'm buying you a flight. You're buying me a charcuterie.
Okay, charcuterie.
I can't drink that much beer.
What? A flight? They're not even full beers.
No, they're tiny little baby ones.
You're just trying to get me drunk. See how it is.
I think the pricing is similar, so.
Okay, that's fine. That's fair anyway.
Okay, so I think that's everything we think we know about the Bourne Stuntacular. I do like the name. People don't like the name. I like the name. I think it takes something like the Indiana Jones Stunt Show Spectacular and it just smooshes it down. So we don't need Stunt Spectacular. Stuntacular.
I like this.
Boom, done.
I like this show just because the name is not really long.
Yeah, that's true. The Jason Bourne Stunt Spectacular Extravaganza.
Yeah, like the names have been a little ridiculous lately.
Universal Pictures presents the Jason Bourne Stunt Spectacular Extravaganza.
Oh,
I'm looking in space.
I'm looking at you, Hagrid.
Speaking of Hagrid, I think one of the two rides at Epic Universe for Fantastic Beasts is going to be about rounding up critters from the streets of Paris. So if you want to put your name in the hat there for a name guess on that one, Newt's Critter Roundup. Newt's Fantastic Beast Creature Roundup.
Whatever. My name for that was much better than Hagrid. My name for Hagrid's Forest Friend Roundup is much better than the actual ride name. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I think we might still have a chance for that, but it won't be Forest Friend. It'll be Fantastic Beast.
Yeah, Fantastical Friend Roundup. There you go.
Newt Scamander's Parisian Fantastical Friend Roundup.
There we go. We're done.
That's the right number of words. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode, which I think was about Fast and Furious Supercharged, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. Wait, did you just say supercharged? I don't know what you're talking about.
Never heard of it. Do check out our Patreon podcast. We've started this new series where we're talking about every attraction at Universal Studios Florida. And we just recorded a really good episode with Seth Kabersky about Terminator 2 3D. And he worked on the attraction when it first opened as a tech and talked about some of the behind the scenes inner workings about it. And if you want to hear more about behind the scenes on that and the history of every attraction at Universal Studios Florida, as long as we keep going, we've already done Alfred Hitchcock Presents. We've done The Fantastic World of Hanna-Barbera and now The Terminator 2 3D. And we're going to do all of them. Check it out at patreon.com/themeparkzone.
Yep. And I just want to say thanks to all our listeners, everybody that interacts with us. I really, really like the interaction with everybody. It's cool to talk to people that love the theme parks like we do. So, thanks to everybody that listens. Patreons as well, obviously. But you guys get your name credited on stuff and you get fun stuff for joining that. But just want to say thanks to everybody that listens and supports us.
Yeah, it's been a really great year.
It has been. And we've got some really cool people in the group.
The Facebook group. Yeah. Join our Facebook group and chat with us.
Yeah, mostly me. Alicia goes to the Discord thing a lot.
Join our Discord and chat with us. But yeah, seriously, I can't believe it's been a whole year.
I know. It's been awesome, though. It's been super fun. I'm going to try to come down next year, and we're going to do a meetup, right? Right.
Yeah, we definitely need to do a Pizza Rizzo meetup.
Somebody bring me beer and food, because I can't eat anything there.
You'll be right next door to the Baseline Tap House and Docking Bay 7. You can go grab some regularly named chicken.
Just someone go to Baseline and bring me a beer. If not, I'll just grab one. I'm not dealing with that food.
And we did get all of your listener questions. I think we got about 50 of them. And we are going to devote an entire episode to all your listener questions and get that out soon. So stay tuned.
Yep. I'm looking forward to doing the questions. Like I said, I really like interacting with everybody. So those are always fun. And if you ask a good enough question, you might end up on a show, because if you're going to torture us, we bring you with us.
Yep. And there's definitely some good questions. That's why I think we need to devote a full episode just to questions.
Oh, boy.
There's some really good ones.
Oh, boy.
Okay. That's it for now.
Bye, kids.
Bye.
Baby, fuzzy baby ducks.